You know one dynamic that's interesting to me? Many people scream about the separation of church and state, and they make a huge deal about it. But then so many precincts where we vote are churches. That's always been odd to me, but really hit home today. When I was looking for the results or kind of my sample ballot, actually, this was last night, not this morning. And there's 9 or 10 different precincts in my township. And I was toggling through, and 3 or 4 of them are churches. I don't care. I mean, so what to me? The separation of church and state, though, thing is important in terms of public schooling, where people are like, well, let's put the Ten Commandments in there. Well, okay, as long as you're ready to put every single religious artifact and every single piece of religious teaching in there, then go ahead. But if you're unwilling to do that, then don't start down that road. And that's where it is important. But we hammer on this separation of church and state. And then they're like, hey, where's your voting precinct? Ah, St. Richard's. And nobody thinks anything of it. It's very odd. Anyway, Jack's in Mount Lebanon. Hey, Jack.
Hi, Colin. How's the family?
Great. I took my kids to see what it was like to vote today. And my son was way into it. My daughter couldn't have been less interested. Not that she didn't like it, but she couldn't wait to get back in the car.
Yeah. Well, she's a kid.
That's how things work. Yes. You sent your mail-in ballot, right?
No, huh?
What are you talking about? Did you go?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. You scared me for a minute. I knew you were going to do your civic duty. Did you enjoy the process today?
It's the same.
You're right. It is the same. I got a message from a member of our staff who said he just went to vote not long ago. And one thing that rankles him, that he just can't get past, are the people who politic for certain candidates. They're just allowed to stand way too close to the polling place, and they're far too aggressive. Do you agree to that?
Yeah. Oh, here's this. Take this. Get away from me.
I know. If you're making a last-minute decision like that, then you're just not an informed voter.
Exactly. Hey, did you watch the football game last night?
No, I did not. I go to bed pretty early. I wasn't feeling super great. I got these ear infections, which nobody wants to hear about them anymore. But I went to bed early. Why? Tell me about the football game.
Well, it was a national anthem in the beginning in Dallas.
Okay.
Had a fat flag, largest the whole playing field.
So people were standing around the perimeter of it, holding it, right?
Yeah. Then the camera was panning. George Bush was there.
Okay.
And then 3 or 4 Medal of Honor recipients.
Oh my gosh.
And they had their medals. They were all in civilian clothes, but they had their medals on.
Wow, that had to move you some, huh?
That's a classy act.
Sure is. Did you ever listen to those moments from the History Center or the museum or whatever that they do, and they're like little vignettes they do on our station? Did you ever hear that, and they honor those war heroes?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yes.
Yeah, they play them during Larry's show or sometimes during Marty's show, and it's the guy at the History Museum. And start to really listen to those more intently, and they'll blow you away. They'll be they'll say some soldier or whatever, and he'll have been in Korea, and he'll say, or in Vietnam. And they'll say, he's originally from Churchill, and then his battalion took on heavy fire, and he crawled for 13 miles and, took out 49 of the opposition and then got in, and he wasn't a pilot. Then he flew his own helicopter back the other way and picked up 74 people. It's incredible the stuff that they do.
Yeah, I know.
And we just have it in a minute snippet that some guy reads the script from the History Museum. And I'm like, these people did insane things, and I wonder if people are grasping this.
Well, today, no, people aren't, because they're the same ones that let the kids run free. Think about it.
When you were coming up, kids weren't even allowed in the bar room, were they?
Kids weren't allowed to breathe.
866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. How do you find people who give you advice on who to vote for? That is a very serious topic that I want to get into. 866-391-1020. I have received unsolicited advice, and I'm not talking about what you get on your phone. I'm not talking about people that send you direct mail or something like that. Maybe just a friend, or maybe somebody that's a coworker, or maybe somebody that decides to want to start a conversation. Are you willing to give a listen, or does that immediately turn you off? For me, it kind of immediately turns me off, unless I really, really know the person. But in this day and age, word of mouth has gotten to be pretty cheap, or should I say down the list of things that are important. And here's why. You can do a whole lot of research without talking to other people. You can go to the internet. You can read. There's a million different places that you can find. You are inundated with mailing. And so I find those people, and it happens sometimes, and it happened a lot during this cycle, about these judges. People who unsolicited wanted to tell me who to vote for, who not to vote for, what they're all about. And it's a weird space to try to be polite, but then say, hey, I'll figure it out for myself. That's always a delicate balance. That's different than talking politics. It just is. When someone tries to tell you who to vote for, that's an immediate turnoff to me. And I also want to get into this and back into this a little bit. Do you think there'll ever be a time that we vote on the internet? We do so many things on the internet now. Heck, you deposit checks, you take a picture of it, and your bank trusts you that that's a check. Now it goes through a process. Or will the security never be as such that we can confirm that it is us voting, that it'll never be safe enough to vote on the internet? Like, I walked into the thing today, and again, I think we should show our IDs all the time. I got to show my ID to do everything, but I don't got to show my ID to vote. That still rubs me very wrong. But will we ever get to a point where we sit on our lazy boy, we pull up our phone, we type in some code, we scan our ID ourselves on our phone, and we're able to, bang, do an electronic ballot and eliminate all sort of mailing. Eliminate the U.S. mail, which may eliminate itself anyway, and do it on our phone or do it through those means. 866-391-1020. And I'm going to tell you, before the hour's up, I read a story about maybe, this is top five for sure, top five worst ways to die. And it happened to two people. Yikes. Not to steal an idea from Gary, Indiana, but yes, local developers and investors, capital investors, yes. See where it goes. I mean, you're Gary, Indiana. Outside of that one casino they got right there, I don't think you got much going on. And it could be revitalized, one would think. Close enough to Chicago, all that. Waterfront. Jackson Museum. Jackson 5 Museum, maybe. There's a lot that can happen there. Anyway, listen for the Drive at 5. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. We'll get back into some election stuff. Also, you got to be careful about the internet and passing judgment. Or was the internet used the exact correct way in a situation involving some interesting t-shirts? We'll get into that in just a little bit. All right, top five, or however you plan or choose to look at it, bottom five, worst ways to die. This got to be on the list. It has to be. There are a lot of ways you could potentially meet your demise. Who knows? I might fall over at this console today before I'm out of here. Might get hit by a car. Might just drop dead, heart attack. There's a countless ways that one could end up meeting their maker. But listen to this one. And it's sad because there was also a young kid involved. An American father and son died in Southeast Asia. They were ziplining. Just last week, Daniel Owen, 47, originally from Idaho Falls, Idaho. His son, Cooper, 15. They died following a hornet attack while ziplining last month, Green Jungle Park in Laos, just northeast of Thailand. So some director of some clinic there, which I guess is a quasi-hospital, where both victims were taken to be treated, confirmed the incident took place October 15th. He wrote in an email to USA Today, but he did not elaborate. It was very brief and rushed. The pair were apparently stung by hundreds of Asian giant hornets as they descended from a tree with a ziplining guide at the adventure resort, which they were staying. Owen and his son were apparently on vacation in the country when they died after being stung more than 100 times. USA Today has reached out to both the family and Green Jungle Park. Now, it doesn't say anything about this ziplining guide and what the fate of this fellow was. Did he know what was going on and he saved his own back? He didn't go down with the ship, yada, yada, yada. Was he out of there? Did he also get stung, but he didn't die? It doesn't say anything about him. It seems like the Phuket News or whatever is really protecting this guy. But back to the guy and his kid who died because of these hornets. Everybody, well, not everybody. Many people have been stung by a bee, maybe even a hornet, once, and it hurts. Maybe even a couple stings, and it hurts. This sucks for these people. Rest in peace. But you have to wonder at what point, or if they even ever knew, that they were in a world of trouble. Like, did all, because I'm trying to picture how this happens. You're ziplining, and then all of a sudden you're attacked. Did you make it to another platform? Were you in midair? Were you getting ready and harnessed up? But at some point this happened. One or two turned into hundreds. Was it all at once? Was it one by one? It's just so terrible to think about. It just is. And isn't there something, because I've gone with my friend Bill Bookwalter, Dr. Bookwalter, who's a brain surgeon. And as he tells me, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to raise honey, but he does in his backyard. So I've taken bees out with him out of his case that he has. He keeps all these bees in his backyard. And it's a really cool process when you do it. You get all suited up or whatever. But he was explaining to me, I think, if I remember correctly, that if you get stung once, they release like this ferritin or pheromone. I don't know what the hell it's called. Something like that. And then it like, then the cavalry comes. That's like the sign. If you get stung once, then they all smell it and they're there. So try not to get stung once or it turns into a lot. And I wonder if that's the deal that happened here. Anyway, when you have a big long list of ways to die and you don't want to die by them, death by thousands of hornet stings, certainly on that list. Man, how about that? Good job by Larry. I'll be listening tomorrow. I actually have my YouTube on tomorrow, so do that if you're so inclined. In the 5 o'clock hour, I do want to get back into what your experience was like today. Remember, I'll just say it. Paul Rasmussen, he texted me. He said one of the things that's interesting to him is how close people can get and how much they kind of haggle you a little bit. I think some people, you know, it is noticeable. And that does make me feel a little weird sometimes. Although, today it was, they were very polite. But I could see where people are like, hey, look, I'm just going in here to vote. Leave me alone. But we'll get back into your at the polls experience at the top of the hour. Also in the 5 o'clock hour a little bit, is Tom Brady playing God? I mean that. Now, there are some who think he's a football god, but is Tom Brady playing God? And as we do, every Tuesday, we'll play a little from Mike Tomlin before we get out of here because he has his news conference. Now, this was a big story over the weekend. It just was. There were a lot of people commenting on it, a lot of people rushing to judgment. Maybe their judgment was right. Maybe it was wrong. But it has turned into a, this is my side. No, this is my side. You were doing this to incite people. No, we weren't. It was an honest mistake. And it has turned into this crazy tug of war in Arizona.
The eight teachers in Vail near Tucson wore T-shirts with fake blood and the words, problem solved. It was a reference to solving math problems, but many people who saw the photos online thought the teachers were mocking the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Kathleen Wynne chairs the Pima County Republican Party.
It seems a little tone deaf to me.
The teachers received hundreds of threats by email and phone. One said, "You teachers need to be school shooting victims." The school superintendent says the situation was taken out of context. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
All right, where are we with this? You can't write any messages and say you need to be school shooting victims. Nah, idiocy, plain idiocy, and a crime, really. Okay? Tone deaf at best. Being somebody who is okay with murdering Charlie Kirk at worst. Because here's the thing. And I went back and forth. As soon as this was on, I kind of went back and forth with this. And I thought, all right, let's just take their shirts. And they had mock blood all over them. In what realm, when you're a math teacher? Now, keep in mind, they're not science teachers, not anatomy teachers. They're not teaching muscle structure or first aid or this or that. In what realm, as a math teacher, do you find it okay and is it good judgment, no matter any circumstances, to have fake blood all over your shirt and stand together and have some sort of photo? You're trying to get noticed, and you'll probably get noticed for the wrong reasons, and the people who notice you for the wrong reasons are probably right. There's no way that's good judgment. So in my eyes, they're at the very least, the smallest charge is guilty of poor judgment. Their worst charge is being somebody who is sympathetic to the murderer of Charlie Kirk, which may be a long shot, but it's not out of the question. What I don't think they are is totally innocent of everything. We use this term taken out of context a whole lot to try to exonerate people. I mean, it's the way that it goes. It was taken out of context. Oh, what happened there? Well, it was taken out of context. All right, so I'd like that Vail superintendent or sister superintendent, whatever it was, to explain to me contextually what exactly needs to be taken and how it needs to be taken. Because did the shirts not have red blood on them? Were they not all standing together? Were they superimposed together? Was it a photo where it wasn't really a group photo and it was spliced together? Did someone pour red stuff on them in the midst of that photo being taken and they didn't think they had it on their shirt? See, I think I understand the context pretty well. They had those shirts on. They stood together. They were photographed and wanted a group photograph like that. But if you saw this photo at 866-391-1020, and it was all the rage over the weekend, but I'm sure many of you were trick-or-treating or locked into the Steeler game or doing some other things. I saw it and I immediately went, this is going to be very polarizing. Some people are going to be insistent that they're making fun of Charlie Kirk. Some people are going to be insistent that, what are you talking about? We just had these shirts on. You're making too much of everything. And the middle ground is probably where the truth is. They wanted some attention. They wanted people to notice them. And then when it spiraled out of control, they backed off it and went, whoa, what are you talking about? And that happens oh so often with so many things, especially once they hit the internet, that if you weren't in a position to try to sell yourself like this, then it never would have happened. But what it isn't is innocent. It is not 100% innocent. There is no situation. And I've looked at this probably for 25 minutes today and said, well, where am I on this? There's no situation where 8 math teachers stand together with white t-shirts that have mock blood on them and then try to explain away to anybody, oh, it's just harmless fun. Because in what world do math teachers do that? You don't celebrate by, we killed the math problems. Here's all the blood from butchering the math problems. That's ridiculous alliteration. Like, or you don't do that. No, nobody illustrates it like that. You're not a science teacher. You're not teaching surgery. It's math. Come off it. And what they have, though, is they have plausible deniability in that they could say, oh, okay, no, we really didn't mean it that way, and it's impossible to prove otherwise. So these people got their 5 minutes of fame. Somebody took it too far. They said they wanted to kill him or shoot him or whatever. The focus then becomes on that person because they're totally wrong and they should be charged. And now what happens is the initial act isn't talked about anymore because the focus has shifted. But it doesn't change their initial act. They wanted people to notice them. People noticed them. And then they cried victim. And that's where we are. Now, the level of which they wanted people to notice them or the level of which they were guilty, so to speak, that's in the balance, it can be argued. But it's greater than zero. They're 100% not total victims here. They wanted the attention. Then they got it, and they got shaken by it. And that's where we are. Teachers need to understand that they don't need to be photographed doing stupid stuff, because if they are photographed being stupid stuff, doing stupid stuff, people are going to call them out on it. And rightly so. I do want to get what it was like at the polls today, if you went in person. And I do want to get a gauge on how many people were there and what number you were. Because I went pretty early. And I want to tell you, my experience was, it was super great. We'll get into that in just a little bit. And Tom Brady playing God. To some degree, kind of is. Man, I'll grab your calls in a moment. This Tony Marino's down bad. Okay, a question for the top of the hour, along with your polling experience, your poll experience today. 95 years since a Republican mayor in Pittsburgh, because Tony Marino has about as much a chance tonight, today, as this telephone sitting next to me. What does Pittsburgh need to do to get any sort of Republican momentum? Or do you think you'll die and never see one? Really? I think that's the case for me. I'm 48 years old. I don't think I'll ever see a Republican mayor in Pittsburgh. It's just the way that it is. But we'll talk about that top of the hour, along with your experience at the polls today. But get your calls moving, 866-391-1020. What about those teachers in Arizona, though, Gina? Gina in Crafton was there. She's not now. Let's talk about that Republican mayor situation now then. You know, it feels like there is never going to be momentum. There's not a lot of momentum. Okay, I'll say this. There's a little bit, slight momentum for some candidates on a countywide basis. We'll see how some of the elections turn out today. You heard, I heard somebody say, I think it was the committee chairman say, that they have a Republican in every race, you know, for the first time in however long it's been. But in looking at all of it, in terms of the city, you know what it's going to take? It's going to have to take, in terms of the mayor, it's going to take pretty much a Republican who runs in Democrat by name only. And somebody that kind of jumps party. Oh, okay, it's going to take like a Fetterman kind of guy who is a logical, common sense person who looks at things and doesn't assign party to them. That's what it's going to take to shift Pittsburgh, I think. Gina is in Crafton now. Hi, Gina.
Hi. I just like to say those teachers wore the same costumes last year.
Right. And that's where I think they're tone deaf this year. Especially.
Right. So nobody said anything last year. So I was just trying to stick up for the teachers. I didn't really think they were doing it to get attention.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Last year, I'm puzzled why teachers would wear, math teachers would wear something with blood all over it. And okay, we'll take the two different years. So the first year I would have asked questions, what does a math teacher wear something with blood all over and how does that make sense? The second year I would say, that's probably a bad decision, particularly in light of a very high-profile murder that just happened. So it's not linear or static, Gina. The reasons for it being a bad decision can be two different things, two different years.
I do see your point on everything. I just hate to see it being blown up bigger than it needs.
Well, nothing's blown up bigger than it needs to be when you're paid by taxpayer dollars.
Well, that's true, too. But, Colin, I just want to follow up because I'm getting ready to go vote in Crafton.
Oh.
And I just want to tell you, I certainly love your show. I listen to you every chance I get. And,
well, thank you. Let me ask you this.
You're a great guy.
Do you anticipate there being a lot of people there, or do you think you'll just walk right in, Gina?
I'm walking right in because it's the dinner hour, and I don't really see too much hubba-bubba going on here.
All right. Well, get in there and cause some hubba-bubba. You know the one thing we haven't got yet, knock on wood, we have not got that sheriffs have been dispatched to this polling place, or this guy knocked this guy out in the parking lot, or this person did this or did that. So hopefully that holds throughout the night. And they don't, or the, you know, the person in charge of elections had to go and drive to this place real fast because somebody was raising hell. Hopefully we don't get any of that. That's nonsense. I do want to find out what it was like at your polling place today, your polling experience. And if it was crowded, if you walked right in, what it was like. And if you like, do you like these paper ballots? I can't get away from not liking them. But it's better than nothing. But give me the old machines back, honestly. But let's talk about all that coming up, if all but briefly, at the top of the next hour.